We make the joke every once in a while, poacher tested, poacher approved, but not sure how that would go over on a shirt.
Well, welcome to episode 101. Our guest tonight is Dustin Wardell from Black Gold Bowsights. In this episode, we cover all aspects of bow sight selection, such as single versus multi-pin, fixed sights versus slider sights, things like micro-adjust, pin sizing, pin color, sight housing options, you name it, we cover the gamut in terms of helping you identify what bow sight is best for your needs and then discuss how you can build that out. As you might have heard in the previous episode, Black Gold is one of the companies that stepped up to offer you guys a great prize. So with episode 100, we did a huge giveaway just to say thank you to you guys. You can win a Black Gold sight, as well as a bunch of other prizes, including an Exo Mountain Gear pack, gear from our friends at First Light, Tight Spot, Ripcord, just many others, 15 prizes up for grabs. Go check out exomountaingear.com/100 to learn how to enter into that giveaway. Okay, let's dive right into this episode with Dustin Wardell from Black Gold Bowsights. Dustin, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So
yeah, we're excited. Steve, how you doing, bud? Are you like in last minute crunch here?
Yeah, man. It's a week and just a few days till we leave for Alaska. So it's getting all my food rounded up and started packing gear last night. So yeah, I'm excited. It's right there, man. Right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know when this one's going to hit the air, but it's August 10th as we're recording this. So kind of, you know, I was doing, you know, planning tonight. I did some dehydrated meals and tested a new recipe, and literally that's what I ate for dinner. I fired up my backpacking stove and told my wife, I was like, hey, don't worry about dinner, I got it covered. So it's kind of that time of year where you're just like testing everything, getting everything together. It's exciting. Dustin, what do you have coming up for this season? Anything notable? Or
we start archery antelope hunting next Tuesday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Planning a 4-day antelope hunt. I'm pretty excited about seeing some nice bucks. It's going to be a great spot and stalk adventure. And then just ease into deer and elk season, general deer and elk season in Montana. Doesn't get a whole lot better than that, other than maybe a few limited entry units. So.
Right. Yeah. Do you, are you planning on pretty much sticking with a spot and stalk all 4 days?
I am. Ground blind hunting for antelope, super successful. Great opportunity to really look at a lot of bucks. But I just find the excitement of spot and stalk so much more enjoyable. Find some antelope, test your skills when you're hunting an animal that can see for miles and picks up every little bit of movement. There's nothing more rewarding than sneaking within 40 yards and getting a great shot on a nice antelope buck.
Yeah, for sure. I'm the same way with chasing wild turkey. It's like, you know, sitting in the blind's cool and all, but there's just something so much fun about getting out and chasing them, even if it's incredibly difficult to fool their eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So let's back up and for listeners and give them some context. If you could just kind of introduce yourself, maybe give us some hunting background, some background with Black Gold, and kind of tell us your story.
Okay. Well, I've been with Black Gold for 10 years. I am national account manager, sales manager, pro staff manager. I do wear a lot of hats at Black Gold. The company's been in business for 29 years. We've always been an American-made company. I have been bow hunting since I was 12, so I've got, I don't really want to say how many years that is, but we got a solid 30 years of archery
got a experience. Couple seasons under your belt.
Yeah, I've done this once or twice. grew up hunting Idaho. I've lived in the West my whole life, Idaho and Montana. I've put more seasons in Montana than I have Idaho. I've taken more animals bow hunting than I have gun hunting. I enjoy the gone hunting, but I've gone pretty much the last 6 years exclusively archery only. Just enjoy it so much more. And like I said, I've been with Black Gold for about going on 10 years in September. So have watched the company grow and expand, change our site offerings from some molded plastic parts and pieces to machined aluminum and getting into more space age polymers on little parts and pieces here and there. But it's been very exciting to see the industry change and grow over the years, especially when you get to sit in the middle and watch it instead of just looking from the outside in. So
yeah, that's neat. Mm-hmm. I think the very first or second sight I used was a Black Gold, but I haven't been bow hunting nearly as long as Black Gold has been around. I had no idea that the company's been around for 29 years. That's amazing.
It started in the basement of a pro shop. The founder of the company, Mike Ellig, right out of college with an engineering degree, bought a pro shop because he just loved archery. And one of his friends presented an idea for sights for him, and he took that on and invested $500 into the company and built $500 of the sights and sold them and increased the every bit of money he made. He turned back into the company and slowly to the point where he sold the archery shop and moved it out of the basement of the archery shop. And talking to some of his former employees, it's the bare light bulb basement assembly production, which is how a lot of companies get started. And now going from that to selling bow sights regionally or locally to internationally with dealerships in Germany and France and Australia, South America, all over the world. So
that's cool. What was new about a Black Gold sight? Like, what was distinct about the design or the functionality way back then?
Well, it was his original design. He put all originally when they first came out with bow sights, it was brass pins and they were all kind of staggered and you couldn't get them that close together. But one of the things that Black Gold did is they had put that on an angle so it looked like you could get your pins actually closer than what you really could. You could pivot the pin rail forward and backward so you can get the impression that the pins were getting tighter and farther apart. And that was something that nobody else had really done. And it was just a solid, well-built sight at the time. And we were one of the first, if not the first archery manufacturer to build a fiber optic pin. I know TrueGlow gets a lot of credit for that, but that was one of the first things that we came out with was the old threaded pins that were those brass pins. Well, we came out with a threaded pin that was fiber optic in the 832 and the 632 and sold thousands and thousands and thousands of those pins to people, and then developed some patents and different technologies to make the sights better.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into much more of that. Before we kind of dive deep into sights, I just always love asking this question and hearing answers, especially with someone like you who has decades of hunting experience. What's one thing that you're still focusing on or learning or have to pay extra attention to in your own hunts, maybe this upcoming season after all these years of being in the field?
Preparation.
Yeah.
You think you've done it forever, and it's always making sure the bow's tuned, making sure the gear's ready, as you guys were talking about at the beginning, about getting food ready, making sure you have just... it's amazing how many times you go out in the field, even though you've been out 100 times over the years, and there's always one or two things you forget. It's creating that checklist and just making sure that you have all the gear you need to be successful, to make yourself comfortable. That's probably the biggest thing is always watching weather and making sure I'm comfortable out there. Because there's nothing worse than being cold and miserable and not having the gear to be prepared for that. So,
yeah,
those are the things I kind of I see paying attention to, just being prepared.
Yeah, that's cool. What are some gear items? Whether you mentioned that something like clothing or comfort or shelter, I mean, it could be anything. But what are some of those items that have been in your pack and been on your gear list consistently year after year for quite a while now?
Well, what I found is more of clothing wise, layering systems. Back in the day, it was just cotton clothes, and you either wore wool that was itchy and scratchy, or you wore cotton which got wet and you froze to death. One of the things that the more introduction of the merino wool products for the hunting industry have been just amazing. Synthetic clothes are nice. The polypropylene stuff, that's great stuff. But there's nothing better than the merino wool. I find that I can take less layers and have lighter gear by having more merino. I can take three shirts instead of a heavy coat and a raincoat, and I still throw the raincoat in, but just having to have two or three different jackets and a sweatshirt and just anything to stay warm on those cool mornings when you're hiking up the mountain or you're sitting on the mountain glassing, instead of shuffling through all that. So it's really reduced a lot of weight in the pack over the years. That's probably the biggest thing I've seen over the years, that is the lightweight technical clothing that we have available to us now. So
yeah, for sure. All right, let's I guess to start this conversation on sites, I want to spend some time really discussing, you know, the different options and really discussing site selection. So I'm just curious to kick things off. Say you have a customer you run into at a show, or somebody who calls up to the shop and just they don't know, you know, exactly what they want, exactly what they're looking for. What are some of the questions that you're asking them to determine what type of site they need or might be best for the type of hunting that they do?
Well, the first thing I like to ask people when they're talking to me about sites is, where are you from? That dictates a lot of where are you from and what are you hunting? Those are the two things that I ask, followed by what style of hunting. If I'm talking to somebody who lives in the Midwest and they're whitetail hunting, then I ask them, okay, are you ground blind? Are you tree stand hunting? Are you doing slow spot and stalks? Just getting a feel for the type of terrain they're in, and then what they enjoy doing with shooting, how they shoot. Do they like to practice at long range? They just want to stick in that 20 through 50 yard range. Do they want to try to practice at those 70, 80, 90 yard shots? Are they planning on coming out west hunting? And if they're a western hunter, what style of hunting are they doing? Are they doing spot and stalk? It's amazing how many Western hunters are doing tree stand hunting now. They're packing in stands over water holes and wallows and game trails that they've had cameras on and watched all year. So it's just finding those different styles of hunting, and breaking it down from there, what they're comfortable with, what they're currently using. So if I was talking with you, Mark, I would say, so Mark, where are you from and what are you hunting? What are you doing? And you know, if you're a spot and stalk mule deer guy in Utah, interesting thing about that is I find most spot and stalk mule deer hunters in Utah are looking for a single pin sight. Just with their style of hunting, they'll find the mule deer, bed them down, and then spend the rest of the day sneaking on them, and they'll set up on them at 35 yards out of their bed waiting for them to stand up. So they're just going to dial in one distance, want one pin. Whereas that same hunter will go elk hunting and want a multiple pin sight on their bow, because when you're calling elk and hunting elk, you could have a shot that's going to be 40 yards or is going to be 6 yards and turn into 50 yards in a heartbeat. So it just becomes a very interesting, and just filling out exactly what they're looking for. their styles. Do you like a fixed pin sight, a multiple pin, fixed pin, 3, 4, 5, 6 pin sight, 7 pin sight? Have you considered a movable sight? When somebody starts talking about buying a 7-pin fixed pin sight, I'll try to guide them into a multiple pin movable sight. Less pins, more yardage. So it's very, and just features they're looking for on the sights. You know, do you want something that's easy to sight in? Do you want something that's rock solid? You don't have to worry about, are you the type of person who tweaks your setup? Do you like to play with arrows? Are you a tinker? Is what I call it. And so there's those guys that will try 6 different arrow shafts and change the rest 5 different times and adjust their poundage 6 times. And that's a sight that I would recommend to micro adjust to somebody, a micro adjustable sight. Easy to move pins around, easy to move gang adjustments around, etc.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, there's so much in there that we can hit on for sure. Go ahead, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing. Yeah, I was going to say, that's my exact same advice, is that the guy who's a tinker micro adjust is worth its weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's back up to talk about the single pin versus multi-pin a bit, because I feel like that's one that, you know, there's clearly many guys don't start shooting a bow with single pin. Not many do. Maybe if they come from a target background. But, you know, I hear from a lot of guys and have fielded questions myself on guys who are interested in maybe trying a single pin, but kind of just help us think through the pros and cons of that, and at least considerations that somebody should think. I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, a guy who's hunting mule deer, who's bedding a buck, who's making a stalk, who has the time to get the range, potentially make a longer shot, might be a good scenario for single pin.
Absolutely.
Same for a whitetail guy. Like if he's hunting hardwoods, his max shot distance might be, you know, 40 yards, might be a long stinking shot. Maybe he only has shooting lanes to 35. He could probably get away with a single pin. But kind of help us think through some of the kind of pros and cons of going single pin versus multi pin.
So what some of the pros and cons versus single and multiple pin. With a single pin, you're clearing up your sight picture. You don't have a bunch of clutter in your sight window. You're looking at one aiming point. I see a lot of guys go on a single pin that have target panic, that they can't seem to get the pin on the target. They can't focus on that third pin down. They can't focus either. They struggle with seeing that. I see a lot of guys who have poor eyesight that are going to that single pin because, again, it is a lot of what the sight picture looks like on the target. That's the biggest things that I see with the single pin. The argument of more accuracy with single pin, as you'd mentioned, with the guys coming from the target world, they see a lot of people who actually are starting with single pins and trying to figure out how to get into a multiple pin sight, because that's how they were raised. Okay, you're only going to shoot 20 yards. You only need one pin. And that one pin will get you 0 to 25 yards on a fixed pin sight. So that's the biggest advantage to a single pin. Clear sight picture, know your yardage, and better accuracy.
Yeah. And then multi-pin, which you hinted at, if a guy's getting up in that 7 pins range, you suggest maybe tailoring that down to 5, maybe at the max, and looking at an adjustable. I mean, I've personally played with everything from a single pin to a 7 pin myself. But the thing that I've, you know, found and have really been shooting for the most part for, gosh, 5 years now, personally, is a 3-pin. And I just love it. I mean, it's simple enough. It kind of has that clarity of sight picture. It allows me to make some quick decisions. If those quick decisions need to be made at close to moderate yardages, but then where I have obviously the extended shot opportunity or want to just practice at long range, it's pretty quick to dial. So for me, three is good, but, it's kind of good to hear that even you recommend guys stick away from the 7 pins, because although that might sound like a good idea, it can become, gosh, a mess. It can become confusing, especially in the heat of a moment of a hunting situation.
I hear a lot of people missing animals because I just, this big bull walked in, or this, you know, this Boone and Crockett whitetail buck just walked in and I drew back on him and all I saw was a wall of pins. I could see past those pins, or they got confused, used the wrong pin, shot over the top of the animal or shot below the animal. And in the multiple pin movable market, that three pin ascent verdict sight has dominated our sales this year, in a way that we haven't seen. We've had movable slider pin mover sights for the last 6 years, and it's either been the 1 pin or the 5 pin. And this year, the 3 pin is blowing that up. And for the exact reasons what you were stating there, Mark, is it gives you those quick shot opportunities, set it up 20, 30, 40. That's going to cover a whitetail guy. That's going to cover everything he's going to want to do. That's going to cover most elk setups. That's going to cover any of those things. And it's a great safety net of not taking bad shots. As I talk to a lot of customers when they talk about, you know, multiple pin, that 3 pin versus the single pin. The single pin, you're going to miss a lot of shot opportunities because things happen just too fast. The 3 pin, you know, you're at full draw. The buck comes in, doesn't give you the shot till 40 yards. You're not going to get it with that single pin. With the multiple pin, you're not guessing, okay, that's 40 yards. I'm going to hold this much over. And with the movable, you hit the nail on the head. You can shoot, practice up to those longer distances. And also, again, back to the safety thing, the ethical side of that is, if you don't have time to range it, you don't have time to shoot it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because most archers are going to be, most bow hunters are very precision out to 40 yards, can judge that distance. Most bows are fast enough that 0 to 40 yards, even if you use the 30-yard pin for 40 yards, you're still probably in the kill zone on a good sized whitetail deer. But keeping that sight picture clear so you can make a good shot and you know where the shot is and you're not trying to look around your pins. And that's something that I think that with the fewer pins in the multiple movable, you don't get the peeking, the looking around your bow so much because you can see through your sight window better.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I like about the 3-pin, which I didn't even, to be honest with you, I don't think I realized this until after I made the decision and then used it for several years. But one thing, another reason I like the 3-pin personally is I can have each pin be its own color. And I think just subconsciously, like, that helps with the whole confusion factor. Because when you get up into 5 pins, you know, you might do like a green, yellow, red, yellow, green, or, you know, like whatever combo. But with a 3-pin, each one's its own color, and that just reinforces like that subconscious decision making in the heat of the moment. Because you're so ingrained that, like for me, I do shoot green, yellow, red. Like there's no question, yellow's 30. Like it's just there. It's in my head, and so that's another reason is just that color distinction. I think helps me make good decisions.
Hands down, I personally shoot a 5-pin movable and I go green, red, green, red, green.
Mm-hmm.
What I think about with that is greens are even, reds are odd.
Right.
And it just keeps it, for me, it keeps it fairly clear. 60 yards is about as far as I really want to shoot. But I love to go step back to 80, 90, 100 yards. Was doing that last night, out shooting 80 yards at a little piece of duct tape on the target. So
that's cool.
Out of the shop. So, but that's it. The nice thing about the multiple pin movables and the single pin movables is you can step back to those longer distances and it's going to improve your form and your accuracy. So when you've been practicing at 60, 70, 80, 90 yards, when you step up for a 35, 40 yard shot, that target looks like the size of a house.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's one of the big benefits of a movable sight in the multiple pin or the single pin.
Right. As we've talked about movables, Dustin, I mean, we have listeners all over the map in terms of experience, not only with hunting, but with archery specifically. Can you just kind of give us the rundown on what we're talking about with a movable site, how it works, how that bottom pin becomes your floater, and just kind of give us a good explanation there for guys who might not be familiar?
Okay, so what the movable site is it's a site that has a section, the front section of our site. It's the Ascent and Vertic site. We also make the Pier Series, which is a movable site as well. Is what that means is you can move the front end of the site up and down to adjust yardage. So when we talk about the multiple pin movable, I'll talk about that first and then relate that back to the single pin. But with the multiple pin movable, basically is what you're doing is you're setting that site up, dialing it all the way to the top, locking it in, and sighting it in just like you would if you had a fixed pin site, a non-movable site, 20, 30, 40. If you have a 5 pin, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. And those are your fixed pins. And the movable aspect of it gives you the ability to unlock that head on our dial system and dial that site head down. And we have a sight tape with yardage and indicators with all of our sites. We send 54 sight tapes. I know the other sight manufacturers, HHA, CBE, Spot Hog, they all offer those sight tapes as well. And I'm okay mentioning my competitors because they do make great product. So they all provide these sight tapes as well that are yardage based, so you can pick those longer distances. I always recommend using the bottom pin as your movable pin. I do have several people who will use the middle pin or the top pin. They're not going to get as much distance, but you can pick whichever pin you'd like to as the movable site, as the quote-unquote movable site. But basically, what you're doing is you're moving the whole head up and down. Same with the single pin. The difference between the single pin and the movable is, and the multiple pin is you have one pin versus three, four, five. And it's been definitely very popular. Definitely the trend the industry is going right now. Was that clear enough, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very helpful. One thing I noted, and again, just kind of going back to my own ignorance, I didn't, you know, thinking about a movable sight, I was always thinking about extending my range. And so moving that sight housing down in my 40-yard pin, I can now shoot 60 or 70 or 80 or what have you. I didn't quite realize till a while into the process that I could reverse that and actually move that 40-yard pin up. And it the reason that folks might just want to know that isn't, for me, at least personally, a hunting scenario. But if you're in a situation where you're shooting maybe target, maybe 3D with your hunting bow, and you want to dial to exactly 32 yards versus gapping between your 30 and 40, you can actually crank that up, and whatever your movable is, you can now crank your 40-yard pin up to being exactly 32. So I just want to highlight that because it took me a little while to figure out maybe I'm just slow.
you're not slow. And that's one of the things that explaining to people, there's a ton of information and a ton of different ways to use the movable site. I know several people will set our site up. There's a flush point when you dial the site. You can dial it all the way to the top to the zero stop, which we call the zero out. So when you do move your sight, you can dial it to a specific spot that it will automatically stop and your pins will be that 20, 30, 40. But I know several people will take that and dial that flush, use their middle pin as the quote unquote movable sight. So 20, 30, 40, and they're using their 30-yard pin to do exactly what you just talked about. And they can dial that into that 16, 17 yards and then dial it back out. So they can get that up and down. And watching guys shoot 3D with it, I went to Redding for the first time this year, and the guys who were doing things like that, it was pretty incredible to see. And it's always fun to hear how different people are setting it up. As I tell a lot of customers, there's no right way, no wrong way. It's the way that works the best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. What about fixed bases versus dovetail bases? Not every sight manufacturer offers these options, so guys may not be familiar with them, but talk to us about the options that Black Gold has there and when a hunter or shooter might choose one over the other.
So one of the things with it with Dovetail Base is we Black Gold offers a fixed base, with third axis, and we can get into third axis, first, second, and third axis adjustments. And then we offer a 4-inch and a 6-inch dovetail. And it's what I see people using the dovetail bars for the most in a hunting situation is peep alignment. There's torque tuning and peep alignment is what I see a lot of guys doing that, where you can slide the head in and out to get your peep line perfectly. And torque tuning, I'd love to talk more on that, but I frankly don't know that much about it, to be quite honest.
That one's a complicated one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a thousand ways to tune a bow, and that's one I don't have. I kind of grasp the concept, but I couldn't totally speak on that. But those are a couple of things that I see guys using that with. And with the 6-inch dovetail, they're trying to push that sight out farther to be more accurate, so they can pick up more of that movement. I see that a lot more with 3D guys and target guys. Some guys just want that sight pin as far away from their eyes as they can possibly get it, so they can see it better. The dovetail models, that's what I see. That's what I see when guys are putting the dovetails on there. I know in years past on our movable sights and most of our sights, the only way to get a third axis adjustment was in our dovetail models. With our new X-frame base with a third axis, that's something that has been extremely popular, and I have several dealers that do those. I know Steve has S&S and sells a ton of our product, and
yeah,
but not to.
Yeah, I mean the fixed is going to be a little bit more affordable. I guess it would be lighter as well, especially with the new X base. But
actually, the fixed base is lighter than the dovetail bar. The dovetail base weighs almost a half an ounce more than even the fixed base with third axis.
Yeah.
Because of the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people like it just because it looks cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always that factor.
Yeah, that's something that has changed over the years, which in the end doesn't really matter. But again, having shot Black Gold sights for 5+ years at least, the machining has just gotten better and better, they do look pretty cool these days, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. We've been working really hard on the aesthetics of our product.
Yeah, I mean, in the end I just care that it works for the most part, but having shot generations of the sights, you can tell for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's the most important thing is we wanted something that you can go out and beat it up and drop it and do everything to it, and end of the day when you shoot it just works.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good,
you're still hitting the target. That's the important thing.
That's definitely a Black Gold,
right?
And that's
yeah.
So we kind of talked about the number of sight pins and housing, whether that's single, 3, 5, 7, what have you, but I'd love to hear a bit more about considerations on colors, and then more specifically on pin sizing. That obviously relates to brightness, which is something that you guys have nailed, so you can kind of lead that conversation into how you do your fiber optics and the brightness of Black Gold sights. But let's start with kind of pin sizing and pin color and lead up to that.
Well, Black Gold offers three different pin sizes. We offer a 29,000s, a 19,000s, and a 10,000s. I see a lot of sites getting built with staggered pins, 20 to 19, 10 on a 3-pin site. And the thing that I'll talk about with pin pin sizing and how it relates to pin brightness, the bigger the pin or the bigger the fiber optic, the more surface area, the brighter the pin is going to be. So if you're a tree stand hunter and you hunt in heavy canopy, I would recommend a 29,000 spin as your top pin. It's something that's going to be super bright in low light conditions. The 19,000 is our standard pin. We put that on every site stock. When I'm out hunting, I can see that pin 15 minutes after legal shooting light, 20 minutes after legal shooting light without any problem. I actually one day was walking back from trying to sneak on some whitetail bucks and had this big buck that I could see that I'd been seeing. And it was a good 40 minutes past legal shooting light. It was dark and I could still see my pins. And I'm just like, man, if I didn't have any ethics, that buck would be in my freezer. we make the joke every once in a while, poacher tested, poacher approved, but pin brightness and not sure how that would go over on a shirt, but
yeah, probably not too hot.
Yeah.
But with the different pin sizes, it's the 29,000s is going to be the brightest pin. The 19,000s is going to be the second. The 10,000s, you're going to be able to see that through legal shooting light. A lot of guys are using the 10,000s pins on their bottom pins for longer distance shooting. I've seen a lot of sites getting built with all 10,000s pins because our pin brightness is such that they can see those pins late into the night and they don't need to have that huge dot staring at them back in the face. But that's something that I would recommend everybody to kind of take a look at it before they look at pin sizes, look at pin brightness, before they make a decision on that. There are some pins that do seem brighter than others. Everybody's eyes are a little bit different. We offer three colors in those pins, green, red, and yellow. And choosing fiber color, I'll give you two ways to choose fiber color. Either pick what you've been shooting so it's consistent in your mind and you don't have to think about it when you draw back. So, Mark, if you've been shooting green, yellow, red, I would recommend every site you buy, unless you have trouble seeing one of the pins, is green, yellow, red. But if you have trouble seeing one of those pins, the reason why I shoot green, red, green, red, green is when I shoot the yellow pin, my eye sees it differently, and I would shoot it 2 inches to the left. It didn't matter if it was my 20-yard pin or my 60-yard pin. So that's how I eliminated red or yellow out of my sight housing.
I'm the same way for red. Red just drives me nuts, and I can't put it on a dot.
Yeah, that's the one I hear most people have trouble with. Just anecdotally, seems to be red.
Red and yellow are the two pins that we get. Those two swap back and forth. Green seems to be the most popular for brightest and easiest to see. I do have some colorblind folk who will order all yellow, because they can't see color and it really doesn't matter.
So yeah, as you mentioned, you know, especially if you're going to be shooting the Ascent Verdict or really stretching your range, going with that 010 pin, that small pin is incredibly helpful at long range. Simply because the larger pin is going to cover more of the target. And once you start shooting it, you know, 80 plus or whatever, if you're shooting a 2.9 pin, you're really covering a good portion of the target and losing a small aiming point to have.
Absolutely. I wouldn't recommend unless you're blind as a bat, and no pun intended or no hard feelings intended for people who have eyesight problems. I wouldn't recommend a 29. I would only recommend a 29,000s pin for the top pin. I personally shoot a 29,000s for the top pin. I go down to Texas and pig hunt out of a ground blind in the dark. So, that's helpful. But, 19s and 10s, I see a lot of, 2.19s and a 10, 3.19s and a 10 and 2.10s on a 5-pin site. But you're absolutely right. That 10,000s pin does cover less of the target. When you're looking at that dot, you're covering less of the target with that dot at 70, 80, 90 yards. And it really does make a difference at those distances.
So one thing, which I'm sure if guys listen to this are familiar with black gold, they'd have at least seen it, if not, you know, fully understood what it does. But you guys have the photochromatic shell. Talk about what that does in terms of pin brightness and regulating pin brightness in relationship with ambient light.
Okay, so part of the reason why black gold's pins are brighter than everybody else's, we don't use more fiber optic. A lot of the companies are all getting fiber optic from the same three suppliers out there, and is is what we're, sorry, you'll have to excuse me. I got a white-tailed buck walking across the street from my house.
More important things are happening.
I'm looking out the window. I'm like, that's a buck. Oh, it's just a little 2-point.
That's distracting though. Yeah. In a good way.
So,
if it was like a big one, we'd just let you call us back later.
Oh, I thought when I try to take a picture, there are two really good ones over there that are in that 140, 150 class.
Nice.
That it's always fun to get up in the morning and look out the window.
Yeah.
And that creeper with the binoculars in my bedroom window, but it's a wheat field across the street right now. So. Okay, I digress. Back to the photochromatic technology. But with our fiber optics, we only use 8 inches of fiber. We wrap the fiber on the top in what we call the sky coil. And in all of our sites, we keep that fiber exposed in our photochromatic side covers. And the side covers just to keep that fiber exposed. If you ever look at a black gold site, you'll only see there's only about 1/4 of an inch of fiber that isn't exposed to light at all the time. The reason why we do that is the more fiber optic you cover, it bleeds light. If you can get it to absorb that light and transfer that light to the pin tip, that's going to give you brighter pins. So our photochromatic technology is what that does. I'm going to go back a little bit to the sky coil technology. We started doing that on sites about 12 years ago, 11 years ago. Our first site we came out with was called the Skylight, and we coiled that fiber at the top of the site and wrapped it around the side. And when we came out with that, it was the brightest site on the market, and it blew away everybody else's pin brightness. We actually got complaints that people couldn't shoot our sites because they were too bright. Because of the sky coil technology, which we're still using to this day. So we had to come up with a solution for that problem. Somebody walked in our shop one day with the transition lenses, the early phases of transition lenses, and we watched the lenses go from dark to clear. And thus we started the photochromatic technology, which is automatically adjust to ambient light that's around, to UV light. So what that does is it blocks that light. So in the middle of the day, you're out shooting your bow and you're getting consistent pin brightness from first light to last light. So your covers are clear first thing in the morning, last thing at night. But in the middle of the day, you're going to get this dark purple cover, which dims those pins down because of the efficiency of that sky coil technology. I know I jumbled that really badly, so please ask questions.
No, I mean, that makes sense. Perfect. I mean, it's just, you know, as you mentioned, like, especially with those 2.9 pins on some sites that I've seen, you get those in midday and it's transmitting so much light that you really lose the shape of the pin when you're looking at it, when you're aiming, just because there's like this flare and this glare.
Starburst halo.
Yeah, and so if you can regulate that, help regulate that, you're going to reduce that, and then not only as you mentioned, but the exposure to the fiber optics that you guys do have is also going to conversely then help during the low light. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense for sure.
Absolutely. And
I just remember shopping black gold like way back in the day and thinking, why is part of their site purple? I don't like purple.
and we get that question. Hey, you know, I've gotten that phone call. I don't want a purple site. You know, that purple scared that big buck away. And it's hard not to look at somebody and go, you know, if they saw your photochromatic cover purple, you probably should have shot the deer a long time ago.
Yeah.
Just saying. Maybe I'm off on that a little bit, but
right. So,
but yeah, it is. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask one more thing about pins and just talking about durability of pins along with fiber optics, because that's, I mean, it's an issue that I've run into in the past when I've tried other sites. And again, I'm not trying just to make a black gold commercial here, but I want, as you mentioned, there's, you know, good sites on the market, but what should someone be looking at in terms of pin design, pin durability, protection of fiber optics as they're comparing what's out there, and how does black gold do it?
Well, what I would look at is fiber optic protection, pin durability. Look at the pin. Look at how it's constructed. Is it something that you can put a stick through and it's going to hold up, or is it going to break the stick, or is the pin going to break? The companies that I think do a great job with pin durability in the multiple end market are SpotHog and us. Make the two toughest pins in the industry, in my opinion, is what I see with pin durability and pin brightness. Some companies are sacrificing pin brightness for the durability factor. And one of the things that we do with our pins is it's an all machined aluminum solid pin. We have a micro groove in the back of the pin that fiber sits down into, so we can keep it exposed to light as long as possible, yet protect the fiber optic. And I've had people ask about, again, not to do a black gold commercial, but ask about, hey, well, isn't that fiber exposed? Isn't there an opportunity for that to catch on a branch or break? And when we first came out with that, with our micro groove pins, somebody had misfibered a site in the building, and I was trying to clean up some stuff, and I grabbed a razor blade and I'm like, I'll just cut the back of these off, and I ran that across there, and I nicked the fiber, but I didn't break it. I had to pry it out and then still cut it. So that's my testament. That's my real world testimony for how protected those fibers are in the black gold pin. I know SpotHog has their fiber weave through their pin, super protected. CBE has a tube style pin, and several of the other manufacturers use a tube style pin. And I'm not going to pick on anyone in particular, but not the biggest fan of the tube style pin. It's not super bright. And the tube style pins, you run a stick through them, they're going to bend and you're done hunting, because you've got to try to bend that back to where it was. The nice thing about the tube style pin is you do get that very consistent dot on every one of those sites. And they're awesome style pins for 3D shooting. Just personally, I don't think I'd take one on the range or take one out hunting. You know, you're going to Alaska on a moose hunt or a caribou hunt, and that's the last thing you want to have to do is sit there and try to tweak a pin straight with a pair of pliers.
Yeah.
Get your leatherman. Try to straighten it.
I've been there before, and it's not fun.
I think I've only seen as broken pins in my in a black gold site. I think I've only seen, since we went to the metal pin, probably 20 in the 8 years we've done that. You know,
15 of those were probably from Lenny. He breaks everything.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing is, it's the guy who puts an arrow through a sight housing. Release sight housing.
Right.
I can almost remember every one of them. It's you know, with black gold, we've got an unconditional guarantee. And my favorite part is hearing the stories. How did you break this? How did you do this? I don't care how it happens. It's my buddy dropped my bow in the campfire. What's your buddy doing with your bow? There might have been an adult beverage or two involved in that, but,
right.
but yeah, pin durability. That's really the two things you're looking for aside is pin durability. Actually, the things I think most people look for aside is pin durability, pin brightness, and overall reliability and functionality of the sight. Are things coming loose? Are things going to fall apart? I think simpler is better. Not a lot of parts that are going to, that have the ability to rattle loose, break loose. You know, it's the keep it simple philosophy. Even in our scent models, that's something, our movable site, that's something that we've done, is keep it relatively simple. There's only two moving parts on that ascent. And we've designed that so even if you do something, you're probably not done hunting for the day. You're not done hunting for the week. And I'd love to say that every site we build is 100% durable and never going to break. But best part about an unconditional guarantee is when you never have to use it. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. So true. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we've covered a bunch of options and honestly didn't even hit all of the options on a site, in terms of things like site housing size, and you guys have the colored site rings and there's other things, but I would just encourage guys to go, you know, one of the most helpful ways I think to go see all of the options is to look at your custom build process. And if nothing else, just look at that form and look at all of the options there. And I think that begins to highlight really how you can build a custom site, which is something that I love from Black Gold, because you can get exactly what you want. I can get my three pins, and I can get my colors, and I can get my sizes, and I can get my sight ring, and I can get the base I want. And it's just nice being able to tailor that. So that's a great way to do it in terms of site selection. I'd love to pivot and talk about site setup, but I know that we could spend 3 hours here alone, and we've already spent a bunch of good time tonight. Man, there's so much to hit. We, you know, especially with, like, as you mentioned earlier, third axis, which, you know, is an interesting topic, but is also a bit hard to fully discuss on a podcast alone, because visually being able to see what we're talking about with that pivoting, with that movement, is incredibly helpful. So I think, honestly, one of the best things to do with that is to go look at YouTube videos. I know that, Steve, you've done at least one out there, right, on third axis?
Yeah, one or two for sure. Yeah,
I think there's might be a couple. Yeah.
Just on the SNS Archer YouTube page. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got some great, great site setup videos there.
Yeah.
I actually direct customers there because he's got better videos than I have on my website.
Perfect. So the one thing I would like to hit, because it's a bit more straightforward to at least discuss and maybe new to some of the listeners, as they've heard what we've talked about with movable sites and the site tapes, I'd love for you to just kind of explain these site tapes and explain the process of making sure that you get the right site tape, and then how you correlate that with the specific pin that you're going to have be your movable pin for your site that can dial from, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 yards all the way down to, you know, maybe 100 plus.
Right. Well, the things that I tell people when they're setting up their site tapes, on a single pin site or a multiple pin site, the first thing you've got to do is sight in that pin. If it's a single pin, you have to sight that in at 20 yards. You need to make sure that you are as perfect as you can possibly be. I recommend getting a piece of masking tape or, you know, something that's no more than an inch wide. That's about your margin of error that you're really looking for. The nice thing about that is on a multiple pin site, you can just put that whole pin on that piece of masking tape and shoot to get that 20 yard pin set in. On a single pin, put that dot on there. And I'll talk single pin first all the way through. But that single pin, I would take a piece of masking tape, put it on your sight tape, sight in your 20-yard pin, dial it all the way up, sight in your 20-yard pin, step back to 30, move it, and shoot, and move the dial until you're hitting 30 yards, mark your 30-yard spot, and then move back to 40 yards, do the same thing. The farther out you can get, the more accurate your sight tape is going to be to begin with. And as what you're going to do is you're going to measure the distance between those marks. One of the things I like to do is take the sight tapes I have and take that piece of masking tape off and go, this is my 20-yard spot, this is my 40-yard spot, and find the two that match up. And there's what I'm going to do. That's going to be the sight tape that I'm going to use. That's the sight tape I'm going to start with. I'm going to put that on my bow, and now I'm going to shoot 20. We know 20 is good. I'm going to check 30, see where 30's at, shoot 40. And you should still be good because your 40-yard pin already matched up. Your 40-yard mark already matched up to your 40 yards. Then I'm going to move back to 50 yards. I'm going to shoot 50 yards. And that's where you'll start seeing the variance. If you're really good at 50 yards, step back to 60. If you see your sight, if you see your arrow dropping and you're shooting low, you need to go with a slower sight tape. If you're shooting high, you need to go with a faster sight tape. and so forth and so on. And one of the things I recommend is there is no magic bullet for finding the right sight tape. It's, you need to shoot it in. You need to make sure those marks are good for your setup. There are some companies out there that have some sights that you shoot 20 and you shoot 30 and everything falls into place and all is good with the world. But as you shoot longer distances, you find your anchor point will actually start to slip a little bit. You won't look through the peep the same, etc. So that's why it's really important to work through those sight tapes that way. The quick way I found with a fixed pin sight, the 3-pin sight in 20, sight in 30, sight in 40, make sure that 20 and that 40 are dead nuts on that piece of tape. So you know that that's the right distance, and you go measure those distances. I like it with a 5-pin sight. I do that. Matter of fact, that's how I set up my sight tape in Reading this year. Just had my 20 and 60 good, matched up the sight tape, and all the long shots I did really well with. 22 to 102 yard Bigfoot with a sight tape that I set up just by matching it up to the pins. But that's how I would do that. And when you get into the multiple pin sights, the further back you can get, the more you'll see that drop or that rise with the arrow. And again, just if you're shooting high, you need a faster tape. If you're shooting low, you need a slower tape. One of the other recommendations I make, and I tell all my customers this, I tell my dealers this, I tell everybody this, cost myself sales, but it's great for the archer. When you get your set of sight tapes, if you buy a new Ascent from Black Gold, you get your set of 54 sight tapes. The first thing you should do with those sight tapes is go photocopy them. That way you're cutting up your photocopies and you're not cutting up your stickers. The other benefit to that is if you're going on a moose hunt or you're going on an elk hunt, you're traveling someplace and you're not going to have a pro shop close by, you get into inclement weather. Our sight tapes are extremely durable, but I've gotten into inclement weather and had a sight tape peel off or start to run. The nice thing is if you got some Scotch tape or some packing tape, you can tape another sight tape on. So it's always nice to have that backup sight tape in your pack that weighs virtually nothing and worst case scenario becomes an extra piece of fire starter.
Yeah, there you go. It's your tinder.
It's a great tip. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. It's just nice to have those sight tapes out of the box now, because back when I, you know, was like setting up my first ascent, you know, years ago, I was running numbers and, you know, making scales through software and doing all this and then generating custom sight tapes and then taping those on. It's super cool these days to get the 54 sight tapes out of the box and pretty quickly figure out which one I need and just go with it.
Right. And the software is nice and works well. But the sight tapes are just easy and convenient. They go from 244 feet a second to 324 feet a second. We put speeds on there. Those are just references unless you happen to be a 20.5-inch draw shooting 64 pounds with a 387 grain arrow, I think is what we used when we were building those sight tapes. They're just a great mathematical formula.
Dustin, is there anything that we didn't cover in this conversation that, you know, comes up as you're talking to customers or that you think might be helpful for the listeners out there in terms of selecting or setting up a bow sight? Obviously, we didn't get into all the setup topics, but anything that stands out that we didn't hit that you'd like to address?
You know, when you're looking at a movable sight, we briefly skimmed over first, second, and third axis. The two axes that I think on a movable sight that are most important are first and second. Third axis is a great feature, and the setup on it takes a little bit of time. Overall, it's pretty easy, but first and second are the most important because that's your accuracy left and right. Third axis, we've gotten away without having it for 30, 40 years, but that first axis is that pin plane, making sure it's parallel. On axis setups, those are the two that you need to pay the most attention to, that you'll have the most struggles with when you're shooting. the other thing is really think about the type of hunting you're going to do, the type of shooting you're going to do when you're looking at a site. Goes back to the old optics saying of buy the best you can afford. That goes with features, with sights, fixed pin, multiple pin, fixed micro adjust pins. Get the features that you're going to use the most. I see a lot of guys overbuy on sights. They buy sights that they're only going to do something once with. If you've got questions on what, if people have questions and want to talk about their sight setups, what they're looking for, and best ways, and have these discussions, you can always call the factory. The sales and customer service staff is always willing to talk about it. We're all hunters and shooters ourselves. We've gone through these trials and errors ourselves, so we're always happy to walk you through, walk anybody through that, those questions, and why a black gold. There are times that there are things that people are looking for that black gold just doesn't make, and I'll be happy to tell you who I think makes the best one.
Where can we point listeners to learn more about black gold, or if you have any other personal ways they want to follow your hunts or anything like that, anything you want to share in terms of websites, social media that we can point folks to?
Well, we do have, you can check us out on Facebook. We've got Black Gold Premium Bow Sights. We're putting up some great content. We were just piggybacking Tight Spots, Antelope Hunting Techniques and Tips. And we'll be putting up different tips and different success stories from marchers around the country and around the globe. You can also check us out at www.blackgoldsights.com. Check out snsarchery.com. They've got one of the best custom shops for black gold sights and some of our competitors as well. But if you have any questions, you can always call us at 406-388-9060. You can find that phone number on our website.
Perfect. Dustin, thank you so much for taking the time to help us out here.
You bet. Thanks, guys, for
Thanks, Dustin.
Giving me a call and giving me the opportunity.
Well, once again, guys, thank you so much for listening. To learn more about the podcast or to enter that big giveaway for the 100th episode, you can enter up until December 1st. Go to exomountaingear.com/podcast. As always, we would love to hear your feedback. If you could leave us a review in iTunes or wherever else you might be listening to this, or contact us directly by email to podcast@exomountaingear.com.